This is Ranger Kidwell Ross, editor of World Sweeper and director of the World Sweeping Association. Our featured contractor for January of 2016 is Stuart Smith and his company, which is Smith Cleaning LLC. They're located in Newberry, South Carolina, which is near Columbia, South Carolina, the state capital. Welcome, Stuart, and I look forward to learning about your business and how it's operated in that part of the country and so forth. So,
thank you, Ranger, for having us on. It's a great honor to be featured in your presentation. We got started in the parking lot cleaning business in the early 70s. My father got it started with a passing of a friend of his that was in the business. His would have wanted to pass along to my father. And as kids growing up, we were going with him in the mornings to clean the parking lots. We started out with a Clark push sweeper, cloth bag on it. And as my father would go around the sidewalk area and right in front of the stores, I would go out into the parking lot and pick the paper up, actually by hand.
How old were you then?
Around 10 years old when we started that.
Uh-huh.
Started early in the morning before we went to school, and then come home, get ready for school. So it's been with me quite a few years, and that's why I had a strong passion for the parking lot cleaning industry. We got it started. We led on to grass cutting with the shopping centers. As we were cleaning the parking lots up, we did it as a family. My mother went out with us, and my sister went out with us, too. She was a little bit older, but we all joined in and helped my father clean the shopping center. At first, we started out with one shopping center, and then as the town grew, we picked up some other shopping centers. Like I spoke about before, going out early in the morning before school started, it was definitely an adventure every morning.
So what time would you get up?
We generally arranged it around 5 o'clock. Started around 5 o'clock, and then took about 2 hours to clean the parking lot, come home, get ready for school, and then be ready for school by 8 o'clock. So it worked out real well. We live real close to the shopping centers that we maintain, so it was a very good benefit for us on that.
Did you get paid to do this, or is this just a family thing that you did and you got room and board and food and learned how to work?
Well, I tell you what, all that was true, but my father did give us once a month on those shopping centers that we got paid. Can't remember the exact amount that we got paid, but I do remember that check coming every month. We'd be looking out for it. That was payday for everybody. That was one of the best times we had, waiting for that check to come and what it meant for the work we put in for it.
So you really learned the value of a dollar and what it took to earn something.
It really did. It helped us out through my career and life of knowing what it took to actually make the money at a very young age, and starting out at 10 years old and going out to the parking lots every day, and also knowing the maintenance of the sweeper. We had a little Clark push-type cloth bag on it, and the challenges that we had with that, the dumping part of it, seems like the worst would happen when you had that zipper that would not zip back up with the sweeper. And that meant doing a lot of handwork sweeping just to be able to get it clean that morning. So that was one of the biggest challenges with that Clark push sweeper. And knowing the maintenance of it, too. You know, we always had to keep the old gas, keep everything running in good shape for it. So it really taught me a lot of mechanic skills, economic skills, and life skills through the whole process, because we were always running into managers, or, you know, keeping them happy, whatever it took. So it was really a good life learned experience.
Well, you know, learning that whatever it takes, those are three small words, but I'll tell you, they're big ones, because a lot of times people just don't learn what it takes to get the job done. And I've heard that over and over again by people in the sweeping industry, because, you know, sweepers will break down and you've got a route to do, and it's whatever it takes kind of a business. You need to get the job done and keep the customer satisfied, and sometimes you don't have a machine, or sometimes it breaks, or however that turns out.
Yeah, I think so. And I tell you what, it's really helped me in the economy that we have now, for knowing how to do it and trying to do it the most economical way possible. So I think what we found out for 30-something years we've done it, seems like I'm coming back to ground one where we started at, by trying to do it the most economical way possible. The price has been cut. Prices of fuel and upkeep have gone up over the years. So it seems like I've gone in full circle back around to where we started at. But, you know, we've still got that same shopping center that we did from day one that we're doing right now, too. So it has been a very good lesson on how to maintain and keep customers happy, doing whatever it takes to make it go, and also whatever it takes to make the mechanics of it continue to be workforce.
Fortunately, the sweepers today, not only can you drive them to work, but they're more efficient and don't take near as long to get the job done and so forth.
Yes, it is. It has made a big difference. And we, after we got through that Clark push sweeper, we graduated into a Schwartz, and I think the number is a 220 all-aluminum tote behind sweeper, and that worked really well for us. We really thought that it was a game changer.
I bet it seemed like you'd really come up in the world with that. How old do you think you were by then? Was that just a year or two or longer?
I tell you what, I was probably around 15, 16 years old when we got that pull behind sweeper. So we were in the business about 6 years before we got that. And my father really thought long and hard before he got it, because the other way was working, and probably he thought it was a little cheaper way of doing it. But to do more shopping centers, we had to get better equipment. So we graduated into that pull behind. That made all the world difference. But the dumping part, there again, I refer back to that Clark where it had the bag on it. That was the most challenging part. But then we started with a Schwartz pull behind, and it was a shovel out. So we thought we had really, really changed the game when we got that. But still, you had a little bit of work into it, shoveling it out, but it still worked really, really well. And we were able to get more shopping centers and do it in a more timely manner. And then I think the family, as we used to do it with everyone going out there, I think at that time, I think it was just me and my father would go out and do them in the mornings. And even my mother helped a lot, too, with that, going out when I wasn't available. So it was a really good family affair. I was able to work together, spend a lot of time together. So it had some really good benefits growing up and even pinging on to the day.
You think that brought your family closer together by working like that? I mean, that's tough on a kid. When you were talking about how early you had to get up and so forth, and I was raised on a farm. We had chores every morning and every evening till I was in eighth grade. My mom cooked with a wood cook stove, so it was up to me to have five different sizes of wood in the kitchen in their appropriate boxes, because she was very fussy about, you know, which size you needed to get to which temperature of the oven and so forth. And if I had forgotten the night before, then I was up at 5 o'clock on the rare instances I forgot to get that wood box correct. But I didn't have to get up that early every day, and I don't know if that would bring a family closer, you know, most of the time, or if it wouldn't.
Well, I tell you what, those life experiences, I remember them, great times until the day. We swapped it up a little bit. We started doing it early in the morning, then we decided to do it in the evening times later at night. And I really enjoyed that. We were able to stay up later, and as I got into the teenage years, I really liked that thing a lot better, staying up later instead of getting up earlier. So the flexibility of the parking lot industry, it was very good. Had some really good memories with actually going out with my family and working more so than probably any other job that we could have got together. Just the ups or downs of it, just remember it vividly to the day of all the things we went through with the parking lot business, the things I learned from my father being with him so much. It was priceless. Wouldn't take anything for it, wouldn't change one part of it. As we stand here right now talking about it, just the memories of it, that meant the most of it.
Is your dad still with you?
Away about 5 years ago. Lost him unexpectedly, but he worked right up until that time. But he was still doing the parking lots at 75 years old. We had shared the duties. He had several parking lots that he had in that was basically in his name, and I had the rest in my name. He kept it separated. Once I got up and kind of branched off a little bit and started my own business, he continued until the last day of maintaining his own shopping centers and keeping everybody with the lawn maintenance. If there's any maintenance around the parking lots, he continued doing it. So the nice thing about the business was it seems like that any age you could be in it and be doing it. And the nice part about it was, you know, we were our own boss when we were out there in the field. What you put into it is what you got out of it. And that was a nice thing about it. I'm trying to pass that values down to my children right now. It's probably not as easy as he had opportunity to. Today's life that we live, it's a little bit different, and want to do a little bit different. But I've taken my children out several times, and my son is only 6 years old, but he's raring to go, but we got to kind of hold him back a little bit. We want him to get as much rest as possible. But he's raring to go. just a few more years, and he'll be out there with us. And so it'll be a third generation in sweeping. So really excited about that.
You bet. Do you continue to just sweep, or have you branched out into other areas as well?
Well, I tell you what, the parking lot business, has, when we got it started, it was so many opportunities in it that has revolved into different avenues on it. And when we started with parking lots, most of the owners are the management companies, are out of town. So they rely on you quite a bit to do maintenance around the parking lots. We've got into mowing. Lawn maintenance,
mm-hmm.
and anything to do with lawn maintenance, anywhere from tree shrubbery maintenance all the way into building maintenance. And it seems like that it keeps growing of what all kind of avenues that's available out there. And then once you're into that kind of business, you got other people stopping by, seeing you doing different jobs, painting or lawn maintenance and all, and you're kind of out in the public with it all the time. They're wanting you to do different things, and then you got other plants that see you doing that kind of stuff, and they'll stop by, and then you'll branch off into it. So it's worked really well. It's been a good avenue for me.
With these days of shrinking margins with third-party vendors and so forth, that makes a big difference there too, I think, to be able to do those extra kinds of jobs for people if that's what is needed, or to do more for the same customers. And I think you've really hit the nail on the head with doing it that way.
It really has. We've also started several years ago pressure washing sidewalks, and that's an avenue within itself, from residential side to the commercial side. So you got to diversify in the business that we're into right now. It's worked really well. I think just the main thing is leave your options open, and if the opportunity comes, try it. Because there's a lot of things that we were hesitating about doing, but once we got into it, got our feet wet, it opened up another door for us. So the main thing I can tell anybody that's in this business is small, getting started, try to diversify,
mm-hmm.
try to get into other things. Stay right around your roots of that, what got you there. It seems to be worked out real well for me. When the opportunity came available, jump on it, try it. Sometimes it didn't work out as well as I wanted it to, but some has worked out real well. It just changed it completely for me.
And then you keep those things going and figure out how you can do more of them for more people at that point, too. The ones that work.
It is.
The ones that work.
It sure is. And I tell you what, another thing, too, if a person wanted to start off small and continue their day job, it's available, because that's how we did it. My father, he kept his job continuous, and then I did the same thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're still running the business. We got bigger, had to hire a few people to make it happen for us. The main thing is, it's just a good group effort business.
I agree, and it's saying something that you want to bring your kids into it as well, and that means you've got it running pretty smoothly, and you see the potential in the for them to have that as a business themselves. And who knows how that it'll change by the time your six-year-old is your age. Dirt may be obsolete or something by then.
Yeah, I really thought about what would probably change in the whole industry. And I may be giving a secret to someone else to go out and try it. But someone, I think, will come up and invent a sweeper that will be staged at the parking lot. And it would go out and clean like on a grid
mm-hmm.
with the GPS. And the sweeper would go out by itself and sweep. We're getting into cars where they're driven by themselves, and that's the next industry, I think, that may hit us. It'll be a sweeper that stays at the parking lot, and that sweeper would know exactly where it went the whole time in a whole day of sweeping up. So it's exciting times, and sometimes it may change the landscape for us a little bit. But someone may come up with that idea, or come up with a different way we're doing it.
I think that's entirely possible. Have you seen many changes in what customers want and how they want the job done, and how your employees can get the job done in the last, say, 10 years? What kind of transition have you felt that there's been?
I tell you what, the main thing I think I saw in the last 10 years, and just in the last probably 6 years when the economy had a downsize on it, I think the customers really want more for the same amount of money, and I can understand that. They've got a bottom line. Everybody got affected by this thing. So what we had to do, we had to be a little smarter how we did it, and trying to find ways to be able to save the money for the customer. And one way I mentioned earlier of trying to do everything for the customer, where the person doesn't have to go out and hire a paint contractor, a pressure washer, or somebody to change bulbs. We've even got into where we showed some buildings for a client, had a representative come out that was for an insurance company or a roofing company or AC company, we were always available for them. And I think they learned it, so they don't have to take their time to come out to show it, or we know actually, you know, probably more about it than anybody else. We own the shopping center all the time. So I think that's the main objective I've saw, being able to do more for the customer. And for the customer, you know, feels like that if it's time to look at pricing, you stand out, that you can do more for the customer. That's the main thing I've saw. There's times where that you try to do everything and it still doesn't work out for you. You may have to lose something just because a third-party vendor took it over. But
and do you have much of that where, you know, it used to be that we could forge a relationship. I think it's very admirable that you said that the first parking lot that you ever had, you still have. That's huge.
But that parking lot that we have right now, we actually lost it one time. We actually did. We lost it, and we got it back. I think it was bought out by another corporation, and that corporation had another company that did it. Sometimes that's going to happen. I think the main objective is, whenever that happens, to stay out in front of the customer, that you're always there. Don't ever burn a bridge when you leave. And that shopping center actually came back.
And was it because they weren't getting the job that they thought they were going to get?
That was the main thing. They were not getting the service that they were had been accustomed to.
Mm-hmm.
And then whenever it got to another third-party vendor, they were not offering the same service or weren't performing the same way. So it took a little while. It took a little while to see the difference. They did come back. It's worked out real well. Property managers change, owners change. We seem to stay the same and continue to try to improve our work every day of coming up with new ideas, new routing, GPS tracking on the trucks where we know where the truck's at all the time, saving money. We run we bought a Masco Toyota sweeper.
Mm-hmm.
So that definitely was a game changer from that pull-behind sweeper. So just with that change, that eliminated a lot of work, even the dumping process. It used to be 30 minutes of shoveling that stuff out. Now it's a flip of the switch. And just that little bit saved over a period of a year, that just saved a lot of time. The employee can go out and get the job done. It's worked out real well that
mm-hmm.
way. You know, the mechanics I saw over the years with the newer sweepers improved tremendously. And just really looking forward to what next that can improve our industry. You know, I keep on people thinking of different ideas that may would help it. You know, it's going to come. One day it's going to be something that we all thought about, and we just didn't react on it.
Right. I thought, well, that would be a good idea if somebody could do it. And you don't know what the next sliced bread of sweeping is going to be. Certainly, dumping was huge in that area. That made an enormous difference. There have been some other of those kinds of innovations that have happened over time, but they've happened pretty slowly.
From we started out with that push sweeper until we went with the pull behind, then went on to the drive sweeper. You know, it really, I saw the industry over a period of years, it seemed like it has been really slow in
mm-hmm.
that part of it. We still got that sweeper, though. We still got all those sweepers. We still got the one that we pushed, and we still got the one that we towed behind.
Uh-huh. Does it still start up and run if you ask it to, you think?
The pull behind does. The other one, I'm getting it prepped for my office. I want to get it, leave it in the state of patina that it is right now, but I want to get it and leave it in the office. But the pool sweeper, yes, still got it. That aluminum sweeper, aluminum trailer, the tub part of it. Did a little welding every once in a while on it. Changed the motor out a couple times. Still got the same fan in it. Worked out really well. Worked out really well. For an investment standpoint, I don't know how you could do any better than that. That's over 30-year-old sweeper, still serving a purpose to the day. Not much, you know, can top that one. But
that's for certain. It's amazing when you can keep a piece of equipment rolling like that for so many years. Good for you.
The secret to it is the maintenance of it. You know, we're in an environment where it's very dusty. The secret to it is it prevents maintenance. You know, checking, changing your fluids, keeping up with it. That's where I've kind of found, the secret was keeping on maintaining, keeping the oil change, keeping up with the records. That's that weekly, daily maintenance that pays off dividends down the line that you can't put a price on.
Yeah, and how do you keep track of that, your preventive maintenance? Do you have a mechanic in-house, or who does your work for you? Do you do it?
I've got an individual that helps me out with it. I've gotten busier over the years, and he came on with me. He's a part-time employee where he keeps up with all the maintenance on the sweepers and keeps a little log on it, dates, and when the oil gets changed, maintenance of it, filters gets changed. So he's helped me out tremendously with that. He kind of freed me up where I could be able to go out and look at other jobs, talk to other customers. You know, there comes a time where you, if you want to grow it, you're going to have to look at employees and help to be able to diversify a little bit more. That's what the secret to it is. I found out finding somebody really good that can help you out and do a lot of things for you, you know, from sweeping to maintenance to any avenue that you come upon. That's been the biggest help for me.
Yeah. Yeah, that, you know, if you can get good help, it is so enormous in making it all work the way it should be working.
Priceless. It's priceless on that aspect. And
yeah,
especially this industry that you work in, you know, early mornings, late at night. And you got to be your own boss when you're out there. You know, we do have the tools to kind of help out with, you know, where the trucks at all times. But we really rely on the help. And to look out for us.
Have you had with your GPS, did you have any surprises when you set that up, or is that, you know, proven just for customers to, I mean, how often do customers say, you know, were you there last night and or you have a slip and fall where you've used it, you know, for a lawsuit or anything like that?
You know, I've never had a customer question me. Were we on the shopping center at a certain date? It's a good record to have.
Mm-hmm.
We can always go back and pull it back up. I think the biggest thing that I had was a little fine-tuning that we had to do for the routing once we looked at it and how it was performed. I think that's the biggest thing that helped us with, you know, where we're going out of the way. Was the truck sitting idle too long? And that was the biggest thing. It was mostly a coaching thing for the employee, I would say that. And, you know, once it's available and everybody knows it's on it, it just works out really well. It was just a good coaching tool for us, and we all learned from it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the best $25 a month I think we could ever bought. Who'd ever thought when we first started this industry that we're going to have something that's on the vehicle and knowing exactly where it's at, how long it's running, you know, everything about it. We would never dreamed of that. And then if there was ever a fail into it, I would know exactly where that vehicle was located at. You know, now with the phone system that we got, you know, anytime, anywhere I'm at, I can tell exactly where that truck's at. So that has been unbelievable. Who'd ever dreamed that would have ever been possible?
Right. It certainly is something that is just invaluable as far as most people would say. That's for certain.
It sure is. I don't think we can do it out at this time. The technology that we've got, and that's kind of what I refer to about the what's coming next for our industry. You know, self-driven sweeper that would stay on the parking lot the whole time, and whoever invented that thing would put a grid on the shopping center, and then the sweeper would know exactly where it's gone, and then it would have a device where it would know when to stop to go around cars. So
and who knows when that you know, that particular thing just might actually show up. I mean, that's, you know, each year I do a April Fool's story, and it's been very interesting to me the ones that have come true. You know, one year I had that the different sweeper manufacturers were vying for with NASA, they were all competing to who was going to build a space sweeper. Well,
right.
You know, none of the sweeper manufacturers did, but the fact is that that's something that's in process, is coming up with a machine that they're going to, you know, will be a space sweeper to get debris out of Earth orbit and, you know, do something about it because there's so much up there. And another one that I did was a solar-powered sweeper, and now that's going. That was just about a couple, 3 years ago, and that is now an operational unit in China, is they have a solar street sweeper. So,
yeah, I remember that article.
Yeah,
it was a good article, and that's kind of what I'm referring back to. Who'd have thought it?
You know, yeah, who'd have thought it? Yeah, that's exactly. In dealing with third-party vendors, have you got any insights on that sort of thing? Is that something that's really impacted your business a lot there?
It has impacted it on two shopping centers with that third-party vending. I did get affected on a large retailer one time with a third-party vendor. And I remember you referred to the April Fool's article that you had written, and I think you referred to it as this is not an April Fool's when the third-party vendor went away from a large retailer.
Right.
We were able to not have to worry about that for a while. So that's been the two times I've been affected by it, and it's been on two large retailers. I'm trying to think like they're thinking, and I think it all goes back to pricing. Even as large as these retailers are, it all goes back to pricing and, you know, how they can get it done for a cheaper. So I think in the future, right now starting, you just got to think about that. Even when you're dealing with a small customer that you've had for so long a time, you got to think about that price. Price, and what you can do for them, because there's always somebody out there that's seems to be a little bit hungry, and as you stay in this industry for a length of time, we all get complacent with, you know, a certain amount of money we're making and what we should be making and all that. And then when something happens, we wonder, you know, what happened. But every day you got to keep working on improving it and trying to find one way or several ways to be able to save money for you and the customer. So that's what we keep fighting with. But it's easier said than done. But
it sure is in these times of one of the conversations I had. Now we're recording this in December of 2015, and one of the calls that I've had recently was about a Target store that wanted to have it be $30 an hour. In fact, I've had two of those, and that's all they're willing to pay, $30 an hour for a once-a-week sweep at a Target store. And it's just hard to believe that anybody would want to do that, would want to get out of bed and crank up their equipment and do something like that for such a low price. It's just astonishing to me how that's happening.
You're right. I often think like that. But if there's a contractor that's riding by that shopping center, it wants to make that $30 that ordinarily he was going to go right past and not mess with it, or did not have it, it may look attractive to him. So it amazes me all the time when I hear those stories. We got to keep continuous thinking that, you know, every day somebody else is out there trying to do it and trying to find out a way to do it better and cheaper than we're doing it.
Yeah, and that's the key, too. You talked about losing the client and then getting them back, and a lot of times you lose them because of pricing, but you get them back because of quality. And so that's the thing to think about, is what price can you do it and do good quality that represents the kind of quality you want to have in your business. That's a real key. And to hit on the point about the guys driving by that location so you can do it for $30, well, what happens if you lose the account that gets you driving by? And
it's not as attractive then as it was, and that happens. That happens, and we're hoping that the economy will improve, continue to improve, where that we don't have to be as concerned about that. That's what we got to look forward to, you know, for the future. To hope that you know, the economy keeps improving, where that we're all not affected by that. We can get out there. You know, quality of service is priceless, and if we keep that margin high and keep our standards up, I think that it all will work out eventually. You know, we're going through some times now. It's a little bit challenging, but overall, if we keep that same mindset, I think that everything will work out good.
Well, you know, Stuart, that just sounds like a great place to leave it. Your philosophy of business is very strong, clearly. And unless you have something else to add, maybe that's where we should end it.
I certainly appreciate the time that you had with me, Ranger. Of getting the opportunity to talk about the sweeping industry and how we came up with it, and the opportunity we've had throughout the years has served me very well, served my family very well. I'd like to finish up with saying that, you know, the high standard of morals with your company you can hang your hat on it at the end of the day, and everything else works out if you stay straight in there with it.
Well, I sure appreciate your high values in doing that, Stuart, and you're a credit to being a second-generation sweeping contractor in this industry, and I look forward to when it becomes third generation. Hope I'm still around for that, too.
Thank you. I've got a six-year-old coming up, so he'll be looking forward to talking with you and see what the changes are in the next 10 to 15 years. He's looking forward to it.
All right. Thank you. We've been talking to Stuart Smith, and Stuart is heads up Smith Cleaning, LLC. They're located in Newberry, South Carolina. I'm very pleased to have such a positive, impressive January 2016 featured contractor to start out the year. Thanks again, Stuart.
Thank you.
Now, Stuart, you mentioned before we got started that there was a book that you've read that you found to be helpful in your business. Talk about that for a minute, if you would.
Sure. I tell you what, when we talk about the economy and how third-party vendors came in and managers, owners wanted to get the price down cheaper, I ran into a book where a gentleman in Canada wrote it, where he actually cleaned all the parking lots up with a lobby pan and a broom and a small Echo blower. And that's how he modeled his business. And we're talking about saving money. That's definitely one way of saving money and still being able to make money is that book's available online. He found a way he could do this industry. And I actually called and talked with him about it. And one of my questions to him is, how did he arrange the sand grit? Because, you know, that's our biggest enemy. It's just not literally sand grit that we're trying to get up off the parking lot. But he said the reason that he was in, occasionally, he would hire someone with a larger sweeper to come in and sweep the parking lot maybe every 6 months that would get the grit off of it. But that's the way he found out a way of doing it all by hand. So that may be another avenue that we can pursue. And if it's a shopping center that's a little too far for you to drive, maybe you could sub out with another contractor or someone else that's not even in the business that you could explore, letting them get into it. That's opportunity for someone else that wanted a part-time business, and you could put them in business in another town or another region.
Well, there are a lot of ways to skin that cat. When we talk about how you started out with that Clark, that was no easy thing to be doing. And I know I had at least one featured contractor in the Midwest that did nothing but broom, and he had hired guys, and they were out there with brooms and wheelbarrows. With the pricing problems that we've had the last several years with the third-party vendors and so forth, or just the bad economy and people can't afford to have the job done that they used to be able to afford, there's somebody is out there cleaning those parking lots. So sometimes what they're doing is they're hiring an employee to go out there and do that. There's no reason, since sweeping contractors are set up for sweeping and know what needs to be done and what a good job looks like, where if that's what they're willing to pay for, that you can't find a way to go out and get those jobs and keep them in-house, do what the customer wants you to do and what he's willing to pay for, because if somebody's going to be doing that, it just could be you.
You're exactly right. Like I said earlier, every day someone out there that's trying to do it cheaper or better than you're doing it. So we've got to continue to be thinking that way. So however we can change up or make it work out good for the customer and for us, that's what we got to continue to strive for.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.